morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley on this beautiful February morning. I have a few announcements to share with you before we proceed. The first is I am going to be out of town for the next 2 weeks. I leave tomorrow, and I will be back on March 3rd. I think that's right. I'm going to be heading to El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico. I likely am not going to have good or reliable cell service while I am gone. I will check my email. I will try to check my email in the morning or at night. But if you are experiencing a pastoral crisis or emergency, please call the office. Lynn has access to the answering machine, and she will get in contact with who she needs to get in contact with. Because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, I know this feels like way far off in the distance, but I'm going to be starting a Bible study, a Lenten Bible study, when I get back. The first one is going to be Thursday, March 5th. It'll be in the library, and it will be at 1 p.m. I'm sorry the time is not listed in the bulletin. I left Lynn instructions to put it in the bulletin going forward. She's going to send you all an email, but this is my last chance to announce it from the pulpit until I get back. I will have copies of the book in the Bible study, so don't worry about that. The first one will be kind of orienting ourselves to the study. Second announcement I have is that the deacons are meeting after church today in the library, so if you are a deacon, please plan on attending. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us begin to worship God with our call to worship. The choice is before us, life or death. Let us choose life so that we may live. To Jesus we cry, cleanse us, O Lord. By the mercy of Christ, we are made clean. This is the hope that we proclaim, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 301. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Let us build a house. Please join with me with our prayer of confession. O Lord our God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and one another, but we are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretense and injustice, but we sit idly by, endangering the lives of people far and near. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and strength to be reconciled to others. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Now, as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
We have two prayer requests today. One from Janet's sister for Holly, her sister-in-law. She's recovering in West Mifflin Nursery Home from a broken hip. It is a praise, though, to see Janet here today after her hip replacement surgery. So, Janet, it's wonderful to see you today. Next prayer request is from Patty and Chuck Gamrod for Greg and Oliver Miller. Greg has been in and out of the hospital with various issues. Olive has been his rock. Continued prayers for both, and keep them in your prayers. And I want to say one other prayer request, or praise. It's nice to know that Mickey's dog went through surgery this week and is doing fine, so that's good to hear. And we hope and pray for you that you have a safe trip.
Thank you. And then I don't get, like, dengue. That would be great. Thank you.
One prayer request to add to the list. Let's pray for Kathy Sagi this morning. I think she's having a migraine right now, so prayers that would ease up. Migraines are no fun. We will lift these prayer requests up in a moment. At this time, I invite you to join me for our hymn of meditation, number 444, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. Be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with your Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made. By the mercy of Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Holly, Greg, and Kathy. We pray that you would heal them from their ailments. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you'd be with me and 23 of my colleagues as we prepare to head to El Salvador tomorrow. We pray that our flights would depart and arrive on time, and that none of us would get bitten by any mosquitoes while we are there. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Janet had a successful hip replacement surgery and that she's able to be here with us this morning. We also thank you that there were no complications from Mickey's surgery. In silence now, we lift up our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and may we do as you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Matthew 5:21-37. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, You shall not murder, or whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the fire of hell. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift at that altar. And go. First, reconcile to your brother, your sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it, that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in her, in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by earth, it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
As a pastor, occasionally I will receive a comment from one of you that unnerves me. The first time this happened, I was a seminary student interning at a local Presbyterian church. This parishioner, we'll call her Sally, said that she had heard that I don't like veterans. Her comment confused me. As most of you know, my father was a Marine. My dad taught me to respect our servicemen and women from a young age. Since I was confused, I asked Sally why she thought this, and she said, "Well, you didn't pray for veterans on the Sunday before Veterans Day, so you must hate them." I was too new in my ministry to recognize that this is a classic example of what we call anger coming out sideways. As I was reflecting on this exchange with my supervisor at the time, I realized that Sally wasn't angry with me at all. She was angry with the pastor because the pastor had not hired her neighbor to be the new church custodian. But rather than talk to the pastor about it, she decided to take a jab at me, the seminary intern, instead. I'm really grateful that I learned an important lesson that day. If anger cannot be properly expressed and dealt with, it will always come out sideways. And the problem with anger coming out sideways is that it destroys the very relationships we're trying to build in our churches. Our scripture passage for this morning are the closing verses to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus names the four ways that relationships tend to go awry in community: anger, adultery, divorce, and swearing. Jesus here calls his listeners not to avoid these calls to righteousness, but to dig that much more deeply into them. By expanding our understanding of the law, Jesus makes it possible for us to live in community with one another. Let's look at anger, for example. The Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not murder." It's a pretty basic commandment. What God is saying here is that no matter how angry you are with someone else, you are not permitted to kill them. All countries and all cultures have some variation of this rule as a guiding principle for how they organize their life together. But, as we all know, it is totally possible to not kill someone, but still be angry with them. So Jesus says, "But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go be reconciled with your brother or sister. Jesus is not messing around when it comes to anger. Anger or feeling contempt to another human being is just as bad as killing a person, according to Jesus. Because holding on to anger makes reconciliation virtually impossible. What Jesus is saying here is that it is no longer enough for you to just not kill the person you're angry with. There's nothing noble about this, particularly because all of us live in a country where the punishment for killing someone far outweighs any potential benefit. No, here Jesus is calling us to the hard work of taking steps towards reconciliation with someone we're angry with. Regardless of who caused the initial problem in the relationship, The person who becomes aware of the difficulty is the person responsible for taking the first step towards peace. Friends, I don't think I'm saying anything new or earth-shattering here when I say that the work of reconciliation isn't easy, fun, or for the faint of heart. Telling another person that they hurt you, but that you want to stay in relationship with them, doesn't guarantee that the other person is going to change their behavior, or that they're going to want to stay in relationship with you. It's just as hard to stay in relationship with someone who has hurt you as it is to stay in a relationship with someone that you know you have hurt. But it is exactly these types of conversations that make communal life possible. Jesus' sermon compels us to reflect on what obligations our community might embrace. As I was putting this sermon together, I began to wonder how both of our churches might name instances of anger coming out sideways in our life together. What would it look like instead of gossiping, quarreling, being passive aggressive, or falling off the face of the earth, each and every one of us committed to taking that one small step towards reconciliation? I think reconciliation has to begin with all of us committing to speaking the truth in love to the person we're having an issue with. Let me give you an example. Instead of saying to your friend out in the parking lot, "Our pastor didn't pray for veterans on the Sunday before Veterans Day. What's wrong with her? Does she hate veterans? She must also hate America, too." Instead, maybe go up to your pastor and say, "Pastor, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm a veteran. Every year I look forward to the prayer that you pray on the Sunday before Veterans Day. I know that you didn't include it this year, and that really hurt my feelings. Can you make a note to include one next year?" I hope you'll see from these examples that we speak the truth in love when we communicate clearly in a helpful way to the person we're angry with. When I've had to have these conversations, I find it really helpful to write out in one or two sentences exactly what the issue is from my perspective. I know when I'm stressed or nervous or anxious, I tend to ramble. So I find the practice of putting my concern in one or two sentences helps me be as clear as possible. Once I've communicated whatever the issue is with someone else, I really try to suggest one or two ways that we might address the issue going forward. Because I found that criticism without action or without suggestions for how to move forward never goes anywhere. The key thing, though, to remember is that you are not responsible for the other person's behavior, only for what you do with your anger. I know I'm asking us all to engage in really hard work. So I want to leave us with some words of encouragement. The benefit of being part of a community means that we are not alone. We have each other to lean on during tough seasons of life. And most importantly, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, even when someone angers us, someone hurts our feelings, or when someone uses us as an outlet for their anger. I think it's a fair thing to say, "Pastor, these standards are just impossible. How am I supposed to reconcile with everyone that has ever made me angry?" And to that I will say, "You're right, but unfortunately, these are the standards that Jesus holds us to. Even though we have a responsibility to one another, even if we don't always get it right all of the time, Jesus will always be with us and promises never to forsake us. Let us go from this place extending the same grace to one another that God extends to us in Jesus. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 749, Come, Live in the Light. As we go from this place, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Okay.